You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show live on the Infinity Sports Network. You can find us. You can find us where you are right now. That's where you can find us. That's where you have found us. If this method is not available on any given night for whatever reason, could be a reason of the station, could be you're out of range, you can always get us in your pocket on the Odyssey app, free to listen to and free to download. You can grab us on Sirius XM. Channel 375. You can get us, of course, on stations far and wide, as you may be doing right now. It is a big night in the NBA. So big that this Warriors-Timberwolves game, I mean, the Timberwolves could go up 3-1 here tonight. That would be massive. It's hard for me, at least, to collect myself and focus now on this game. It does not feel like, you know, typically the things ramp up throughout the night and we get the main event here. It does not feel main event-ish just because of the things that have happened so far in the last 4 hours of the NBA. This is about as consequential of a 4 hours that we have gotten in a long time. If you think of all the different things that have occurred, the New York Knicks went up 3-1. They're trying to make the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in a quarter century. The area around Madison Square Garden is a party right now. The Boston Celtics are the team down 3-1, but they're also down Jason Tatum, who was having the kind of night that we always say, come on, Tatum. When are you going to take over? When are you going to be the guy everyone tells us that you are? 7-16 from three. He was knocking down big threes in the fourth quarter. He had 42 points. He was getting it done. 4 steals, 2 blocks, 8 boards, 4 assists. He was doing everything tonight. He was the number one player on the number one team tonight. And then he goes down with an apparent injury. Well, certainly it was an injury, but an apparent Achilles injury. Joe Mazzulla, after the game, gave us some update. He was asked on how Tatum felt after the injury.
I didn't ask him. I just got the update from him. I just asked him how he was doing. So I'll get the MRI tomorrow, and you know, we'll see what it is.
Now, does he think it was an ankle, or does he think Achilles, or what is he not going to tell us there?
I have no idea. I got back there, talked to the medical staff. They told me it's a lower body injury, and they're going to get an MRI tomorrow. So, you know, we'll see where it goes from there.
All right, I would take those two cuts and put them in the trash. They were useless. Now my curiosity is getting the best of me. We've got more sound from the locker room. Joe Mazzulla on what the difference was tonight.
Yeah, I mean, tonight, you know, we just didn't play well defensively. And, you know, we're in a hole. And, you know, we got to get back to Boston. And we got to figure out a way to win. So, Knicks played great tonight. We had stretches of playing well. And they got the best of us, especially in that third quarter, with their pace, their offensive execution. And I thought their pressure took us out of a lot of our actions and took away our rhythm. And, you know, we have to fix that for next game.
Okay, pretty good. Joe Mazzulla after the game. So all of this is coming out of this one game. You've got the direction of the Knicks franchise going one way. You've got the direction of the Celtics franchise and what's going to be a wasted year, it looks like, if it is the Achilles for Jason Tatum. This is all happening after we found out the draft lottery order where the Dallas Mavericks are getting the number one pick in the 2025 NBA draft. Cooper Flagg will be that number one pick out of Duke. The Dallas Mavericks, who traded Luka Doncic for Anthony Davis and way less than they could have gotten from any other team, and also from the Lakers themselves, make the play-in tournament, win a play-in game, lose on that Friday night, don't make the postseason, have a 1.8% chance to get the number one pick, inexplicably do get it. And so now their future is forever changed. Plus, today there was a big story because Giannis, I don't even know what the story was. That felt very fabricated. That felt more fabricated than the he's open to thinking about possibly being traded. How is that a thing? Did he ask for a trade request? No? Then it's not a story. For the first time ever, Giannis is interested. For the first time ever, then what slop have I been listening to you guys talk about for the last 9 years? All that to be said, these last 4 hours have been very chaotic, and a lot has changed. The NBA that we woke up with this morning is not the NBA that we have now. A lot has changed. Johnny is in Atlanta, 888-710 for ISN. Hello, Johnny.
What's going on? First, I thought the NBA was like, first when I heard about the don't want to pick one to Dallas, I mean, it's rigged. And then when you said that stuff about when LeBron got traded, I said, yeah, it's got to be rigged. It's got to be rigged. Because this year's draft is like, to me, it's probably going to be like the 03 draft. There's going to be a lot of great players coming out that pretty much could change your franchise. Not only just them four. It's like 7 or 8 I'm thinking of right now. And
it's not even that that Dallas got the number one pick. It's that then the Spurs got the number two. And the Sixers got the number three.
Sixers.
Teams that were bad this year but don't need it as badly as the Charlotte Hornets or the Utah Jazz or the Washington Wizards.
Exactly. But still, it's still like 7 or 8 guys. I think it'd be like 10 guys that could pretty much could change your franchise that's coming out this year. So I'm thinking, I'm comparing it to the 03 draft. And I'm going to go what I've been telling you all since what's the name? If the Bucks GM is not on the phone right now trying to get that number two pick, because you already said if you trade your top player, you get the number one pick next year. Is that what it looked like? So basically, the Bucks could have the number one pick next year, have Stephen Castle, and the number two pick this year, and if they draft Ace Bailey. So you have Stephen Castle, Ace Bailey, the number one pick next year, who probably going to be AJ coming out of Utah. That's three main guys as a focal point. So you need to get on and get a petition signed. Let's go ahead and get Giannis out of Bucks. I'm not even a Bucks fan, but I would do that. I'm just saying, you as a Bucks fan, you need to go ahead and get on the phone, get the GM to get him traded. Because if he don't, he's a loser. So
yeah, I like that theory. I like it so much that I just texted a couple of my buddies that the Bucks should trade Giannis because then the draft will be rigged for us. And I didn't even credit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then y'all would get the number two pick. Because if y'all don't get, if y'all don't put Stephen Castle, the number two pick, and I think they got a number 15 pick too. And then the number one pick next year. So y'all have two number one picks next year. Y'all go two first round picks this year. And Stephen Castle, that's a big, basically a team changer right there.
Well, and if the Spurs had the number one pick, I think that trade already would have been sent in.
But the number two pick, Ace Bailey, basically.
Yeah,
on
but
the
Cooper
same
Flagg,
level,
man. Cooper Flagg. It's Cooper Flagg.
Man, you saw man. Ace Bailey play. You saw Ace Bailey play. Watch his game. It's basically the same type of game. They both are 6'8", who can handle the ball and shoot the three. They both are the same type of player. So I'm just saying, look into it and give me credit for my knowledge, man. I'm telling you, give me credit. You have a good night, Bart.
Yeah, all right, Johnny in Atlanta. I did not give him credit. I not only did I not get him credit, but I sent a text during the phone call. What he said, I like so much that I couldn't even wait until the end of the show when I look at my phone. I don't look at my phone during breaks even. I'm that disciplined. Even though if you heard the first hour of the show, I definitely got a text, and my ringer was definitely on.
Are you professional or not?
First hour. You know, this is one of those nights where a lot of people want to talk. A lot of people want to talk about the NBA. It's a crazy night. It is a crazy night. And we haven't really discussed much about what happened over the weekend yet with the games that we saw on Saturday and Sunday, a game that I was so ready for, that Celtics-Knicks game. I wanted to see that crowd. I wanted to see how crazy they would be. And I actually did not see the first quarter. What the hell was I doing? Saturday afternoon at 2 in the afternoon. What the hell was I doing? I think I fell asleep. I did get a nap in on Saturday. Saturday was rough. Saturday we had two soccer games. Oh, my God. This coach on one of these teams, there's a certain type of coach. I don't think he's like, there's just a certain type of coach that in soccer fans are already like, why don't you like our sport? You know, I'm like that. I'm a soccer fan, so I can do that.
Open wide for some soccer!
But these soccer fans that are like in their 60s that, you know, didn't even like go to bars to watch like the teams from the Netherlands or the 90 World Cup. They like went to somebody's house and got closed circuit TV. And it was, there's just a certain older type of soccer man where all you got to do is fake an English accent and some rich suburban club will pay you $500 a practice. Oh, he must know soccer. He's from England. Just these guys. He was so grating on me the other day. And then we don't keep score, but, or I don't, the kids do. They're six. But what you're supposed to do in the website for the teams, for the program, is if you won, you're supposed to put that you won 1-0. If you lost, you put you lost 0-1. And if you tied, you put the score was 1-1. So it gives the league an idea of which teams should be in what league for the following year. I suppose I get that. So my assistant coach had put in that we won. And I think we did. I don't know. Again, I wasn't keeping score. They scored some goals. We scored some goals. But then this morning, he had gone in, this coach I'm talking about, and changed it to a tie. Again, the Pacers are going to make me swear, and this guy is going to make me write a strongly worded letter that I'll never end up sending. But I'm just at my wit's end all over the place right now. And speaking of those Pacers, because we saw the Celtics win Game 3. Obviously, they lost tonight. We saw the Timberwolves on Saturday night in a pretty competitive game where The Timberwolves needed everything they needed in the fourth quarter, and they got it, beat the Warriors by five. We saw the Thunder and the Nuggets in a scrappy game. We're getting some 90 scores here, 92-87. Oh, they must not be shooting threes. Oh, no, they shot a lot of threes, and they missed a lot of threes, especially in the first quarter. Both teams shooting 24% from three in this game. It was pretty gross. But then what we saw on Sunday night, I don't know what happened to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I do give credit to the Indiana Pacers. Things that I've said about the Pacers up to this point, good and bad, have included they are front runners. They only talk when they've got a little weight behind them. Even Tyrese Halliburton. Tyrese Halliburton doesn't talk in game three. Then he obviously talks in game four. His rationale was lame. I'll let you hear that in a minute. I think they're a little too physical. Like, there's soft, and then there's physical, and then there's dirty. I mean, Benedict Mathurin got thrown out of the game for punching DeAndre Hunter in the chest for no reason. But then it didn't matter because the Pacers just destroyed in every conceivable way. You can destroy the Cleveland Cavaliers. A 42-16 quarter. They were making every shot. They were just insane. They really were insane. They were up, what was it at half? 80-39. It was tied for the biggest halftime lead that we have ever seen in the playoffs. I mean, it was insane. Let me read you this. I saw a tweet here, one of these basketball accounts. Clutch Points, it's called. You may follow it. I'm going to read you this about the Indiana Pacers. Okay. They said the East ran through Boston. They crowned Milwaukee too early. They hyped up Cleveland's resurgence and New York's grit. But while the league looked the other way, the Indiana Pacers built a nightmare matchup in plain sight. Tyrese Halliburton, the engine, the maestro, the surge protector. Pascal Siakam, playoff-tested mismatch nightmare and still evolving. Miles Turner, anchoring the paint and stretching the floor. Andrew Nembhard, Aaron Nesmith, TJ McConnell, dogs on both ends of the floor, relentless dogs. This isn't just a feel-good run. This is depth, chemistry, and a system that punches first and keeps swinging. They run the break like you're in a track meet, and they share the ball efficiently. But when they see a gaping hole in the opposition, they exploit it at will. They embarrassed Giannis and Dame. They're on the brink of doing the same to the number one team in the East, the Cavs. This isn't Cinderella. This is chess. And in a conference full of kings and crowns, the Pacers just flipped the board. The Pacers are the real problem in the East. So I read that today, and I thought I would read it to you. And I get it. That is what they are. I feel like, of all the teams in the playoffs, and this is something I have said, is they are able, the Indiana Pacers, to play at their maximum ability, where what makes us as a unit the most efficient, we're going to play that way. Everyone's going to play their role, and they're going to play it brilliantly. And the team was constructed in a way where, yeah, it does fit together. Now, my issue with Indiana is that, are they good? I mean, they're good, but are they like good or are they Sacramento Kings good? What I mean by that, I've said this a lot about the Kings, who made that trade to send Halliburton to Indiana. But when they had De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis and DeMar DeRozan, you know, they built this team there that is a good team. They kind of built it in the same way where they have these pieces. But they're not better than anybody. You can build a good team that's an efficient team, but there's also other teams that are just better than you because they're more talented. So this is a good construction of a roster. This is a good team. But are they actually better than Milwaukee? Fully healthy? We haven't seen it. They've had two series wins against Milwaukee the last 2 years. Milwaukee banged up both times. Are they better than the New York Knicks? Last year, we didn't see it. Now we may get to that point, and I hope we do. Are they better than the Cavs, the 64-win Cavs? Well, they had a couple injuries, but that game on Sunday night, did it tell me more about Indiana? Did it tell me more about Cleveland? Cleveland was relatively healthy. Now, Donovan Mitchell got hurt, didn't come back out in the second half, but by that point, they were already down 41. It's the same as, like, Jason Tatum went down tonight. Does it cheapen the Knicks' win? Absolutely it doesn't. Not tonight. And I don't think it cheapens the series. They got their best shot from Tatum. They'll have three chances to close it out, but they were up 9 when he went down. Does Donovan Mitchell not playing in the second half, and if he can't play in Game 5, does it cheapen the Pacers? I mean, they were already missing some of those guys, so I already had their questions. But in terms of last night, everybody was playing. The Pacers were just more hungry. They were attacking more. They were making their shots. The Cavs looked like they were lost. The Cavs looked like, I mean, we thought at the beginning of the playoffs, didn't we say, I'll give you the Celtics, Cavs, and Thunder, or you could take the field. No one would have taken the field. And now the Celtics are on the brink, the Cavs are on the brink, and the Thunder are still at 2-2. I still think they get the better of the Nuggets, but that's a series that could go a couple of different ways. But the Cleveland Cavaliers, who I thought were en route to winning a championship with how they built their team. Again, you can build a good team, but are other teams more talented than you would ever? The Pacers not only have all these guys, but they've also got a little bit more of an edge. And yeah, they are annoying. They are not a fun team to watch. They do talk loud when they're winning, and they do not talk to the media and hide when they're losing. That's true. That's how they act. But it does give them that little bit of an edge. They get that villain thing going. And if you got to play them and they're firing on all cylinders, it's deflating. The Pacers, watching the Pacers are like, I can't believe this is happening. How is this team doing this? How are these guys doing that? But that's right. They got you right where they want you. And now they got a 3-1 lead, and the Knicks have a 3-1 lead, and we could see these teams meet in the Eastern Conference Finals. Now, I don't think the Cavs are out quite yet. I think they're going to get Game 5 back in Cleveland. Game 6 could be a wild card. A 3-1 hole is tough to come back from. But the Cavs have done it before in their history. They certainly have. Now, that was with a much better team. And I don't know if Mitchell's playing in Game 5. I guess he's a game-time decision. But we will see. We will see. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We'll come on back. We've got Kevin Harlan to join us in 40 minutes. We'll talk some NBA with him. And really, he's been calling the NBA for 30, 40 years. He was the Timberwolves play-by-play guy in the 90s. We've talked a lot about the 90s and just how much the game has evolved. So let's talk about it with someone who's had a front row seat to all of it. That will be in about 40 minutes. Again, 888-710-4476. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today and let us surprise you.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's identity refreshing!
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show, along with our choreography and merriment department. I am Bart Winkler, Carlos Ortiz alongside Marco Belletti with your updates. This portion of the show brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in just 10 minutes. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com, not available in all states. Just wanted to wrap up a discussion about the Indiana Pacers, where they got the win on Game 3. They lost to the Cavs. Tyrese Halliburton did not talk. And I said, that's lame. Because I think this Pacers team, when they're down, they cower and whimper and hide. And when they're winning, they are all exuberant and look at me. And I think that I don't like that behavior necessarily. So I talk about it. Tyrese Halliburton, then he did talk after game four and wanted to clear up the air.
You know, last game, I feel like our PR team does a great job of, you know, putting me out there when it's time to talk. And I got to come out here and talk when it is time. And, you know, I think, you know, Mike and the staff did, you know, tried to protect me a little bit. Last game maybe went a little overboard. Maybe I should have overruled it and come out here, but I wasn't really in the mood to speak, and he told me that he didn't want me to speak, so I left. And so if that's a problem, you know, you guys are more than willing. I mean, obviously you guys are more than willing to talk about it, so keep having commentary around it. I'll continue to do what I do and live my life the same way, but it's all part of it, man. But it's just basketball, and I guess I'd rather have this issue. I'd rather have you guys talking about me positive, negatively, talking about me than not care who I am at all. So, I mean, life's good.
I don't know. Some people hear that and say, that's a very nice explanation. I hear it, I get more upset. It's better for you to talk about me negatively than not at all. Well, we wouldn't be talking about you negatively if you didn't do things that were negative.
Yeah, he's obnoxious.
I didn't feel like talking. I don't care. If you're going to talk after every, you're the star player of this team. You are the guy. So if you're going to talk after the wins, looking all nice with a big smile, talking about how you're getting paid to play a child's game and you do you, I'll do me, you can't come and take a victory lap like this if you're going to hide and go home early after game three. I don't think you can do that. And I'm trying to protect myself from being too, like, enraged about the Pacers. Oh, what'd Bart talk about tonight? Oh, 4 more hours complaining about the Pacers, but nobody else is doing it enough. This can't be acceptable. They are obnoxious. They are annoying. They bother me for all the reasons that I've laid out. They are the least humble, most cocky, most arrogant team that I've seen in a long time. I haven't thought about the Pacers my entire life. And then now I see them in the playoffs acting like this, beating up on injured teams. And then I'm Tyrese. I just live my life. See, I got close again. They are going to make me say an F word on the radio. which I somehow I'm able to shut that off. I swear so much all the time. I am constantly, when we're around our group of friends with their kids, at least three times, Bart, gee, I'm sorry.
Whoa!
Every kid in the neighborhood knows all the swear words because of me.
Whoa.
Not like I said it and then my kids said, hey, guess what my dad told me? No, me in front of them with no regard. I didn't know what the F word was until I was like 9 years old.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I don't know how my parents did it. I didn't have an older brother. None of the kids at my school said anything. And then one day I go, Dad, what's the worst word in the world? I think I said, what's the worst swear word? And then he did admit, he goes, it starts with an F. And I go, wow. How long is it? I remember, I was in my bunk bed. I remember this. He goes, it starts with an F. Oh, he goes, it's very long. It's like 20 letters. So then all night I was going like, Fraga Maga Laga Daga? Ferberger Gergetti? I'm just saying these random things, trying to come up with what it could be. And now that I'm a father, I think when my son was born, I witnessed like that little baby body that's in that little crib with the, you know, black feet for the fingerprint and then the little wrist and then the goo coming out of their eyes. I think I looked at him and I whispered in his ear, I effing love you, you son of a bee.
Be a man!
He'll join us in 30 minutes. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. So where I'm at now is I would like to see a Pacers-Knicks finals in the Eastern Conference, if that's what it's going to be. Both teams up 3-1. The Knicks, even without the Tatum injury, which does take some air out of the balloon, I think, from an NBA fan's perspective, but that the Knicks are still up 3-1. He got hurt in the game. The Knicks already had a sizable lead. There was not going to be a ferocious comeback. Can the Celtics rally and put three together? They'll have two at home if that's the case, but they're going to have to do it without Jason Tatum. I mean, they've got a deep team. They've got Jaylen Brown, who was the finals MVP last year, so he'll need to elevate. Porzingis will need to play more. They probably start Porzingis, I guess. Peyton Pritchard, they already got kind of a tight bench as it is. I don't know who picks up some of those other minutes. Torrey Craig. I mean, this is a waste of time. The Knicks are going to win that series. The Pacers-Cavs, though, I'm keeping that door open. I'm keeping my light on, okay? Just in case you want to come back around and drive around the neighborhood and see if I'm up or not. My light's on. My light's still on for a Cavs 3-1 comeback. I'm not out on that yet. The discouraging thing about that is they looked so bad in the first half. Like, clueless bad. And that has got to be concerning. And if you're the Cavs, too, I mean, the Cavs are probably screwed. Like, this is probably it. The Cavs next year are going to be a second apron team, and that means they can only sign veteran minimums and can't take any more money back in a trade and can't combine salaries in a trade. So they can move players and give away players for free, essentially. So what does next year look like? Because now you're going to have the Knicks and Pacers. Are we going to say those are the two powerhouses? Tatum's going to miss some time. The Bucks are in trouble. Yeah, a lot has changed. This has been about as impactful of a 4 hours from the draft lottery to this game that we've seen in the NBA in a long, long time. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Let's get an update. Here is Marco Belletti. Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. Carlos Ortiz alongside 888-710 for ISN, 888-710-4476. On Wednesdays, Carlos and I do the worst in five. We'll pick it back up with the NFL once that season gets underway. We were doing it with the NHL and the NBA during the better part of 4 months once the NFL wrapped up. So it's now the summertime or it's baseball season, so we do it with baseball. The worst in five. We give you our five best teams, but we also tell you the worst. We want you to know in this segment who the absolute worst team is at all times, and it's not going to be that fun to do because the Colorado Rockies are likely going to be that team for quite a while. The Rockies losing again tonight. So they're 7-34. The next worst team is the White Sox. Remember how bad they were a year ago? Well, they're 12-29. So typically we would look at a team like the White Sox at 12-29 or the Pirates at 14-18 and say, how can you be that bad? How can you only win 30% of your ball games? That is pathetic. Well, the Rockies have won 17% of theirs. Just atrocious. Last year's White Sox were the worst team in the history of modern baseball. And at this point last year, what are they right now? They're about where they were right now last year. What was it, 44 wins they had? 44? Something like that? 44 wins, the White Sox? 2024 White Sox. Don't mind me. I'm just going to Google it very quickly. 41. 41-121. About as bad of a record as you can have. Last year's White Sox at this point were 12-28. This year's are 12-29. So the White Sox are still as horrible as they were a year ago. So we could be talking about two historically bad seasons by one team back-to-back. But Colorado, like I said, 7-34. They've got the worst ERA, which is nearly 6. They've got the third worst OPS in all of baseball. Defensive metrics maybe are not perfect, but they also have the worst team fielding percentage in all of the sport. And they were bad last year, too. This could be their third straight 100-loss season. The attendance has usually been pretty decent, but that's starting to suffer a little bit. The road ahead doesn't look like there's going to be a turnaround anytime soon. So the Rockies did do the one thing that you have to do when you're that bad, and that is fire the manager. So the Colorado Rockies over the weekend did fire Bud Black. Now, like in the morning, over the weekend, the story was, a vote of confidence, general manager and team ownership are still believing in the job that Bud Black is doing. And Bud Black's had success. I think a lot of people would look at him and say, that's a worthy manager. He's a good skipper. But then they went out and they lost 21-0. And so he had to be relieved of his duties. Longtime manager there. He's been there since 2017. He was with the Padres 8 years before that. They lose 21-0, so they did fire him. They won then the next day, but they lost again tonight. So as we're enjoying all these different things, some NBA, some NHL, the NFL schedule slow drip, which I can give you some updates on in a little bit. I just want to remind you that the Colorado Rockies are about as bad as you can be. This is the second manager fired. By Mother's Day, we saw Derek Shelton get fired from the Pirates. And now we've seen Bud Black fired from the Rockies. So Okay, who could be next? The odds have Dave Martinez of the Nationals to be the next guy fired. I don't know about that. They have lost six in a row, but I feel like they're on the they're like slowly building something. Brandon Hyde of the Orioles is 2-1 odds. The Orioles are a problem. 15-24, and they have lost in some really bad ways. Ron Washington is managing the Angels. They're 16-23. Things are going rough there. John Schneider, the Blue Jays, 20-20, but they've kind of been like, we should be better than this at some point. Joe Espada of the Astros, Rocco Baldelli of the Twins, both at 25-1 odds. Twins a game over 500. Astros are 500. So those are just the odds of, you know, a team like the Marlins and the White Sox. They've got younger managers. They're trying to turn something around. They haven't been there as long is what I mean. But the Colorado Rockies getting the boot. Carlos, I think coming up next month, I did take you to a game, a Cubs game at Wrigley. I think I'm going to be taking my child there in a few weeks.
Oh, nice.
We're going to watch some Cubs Brewers coming up. How should I? Because I think Wrigley's a great place to go watch a game and get bombed.
Mm-hmm.
Is there like something kid specific I should make sure he's aware of?
It gets... You're asking the wrong person. No. I go to Wrigley specifically to get bombed and watch bombs. Hopefully not by the other team.
Did you go there when you were young?
Yeah, but I used to see adults get bombed, so I don't remember what I was doing except watching baseball. I don't have the short attention spans. Rather, I didn't have the short attention span that children have now. Like, it's clearly different to be a child nowadays than it was when I was growing up. And this isn't me, you know, old man yelling at cloud, get off my lawn kind of stuff. It's just a fact. I didn't have the screens stuck in front of my face all day. I didn't have instant access to entertainment. Like, I did what everybody else did. And, you know, except for the drinking part, I would just go watch games.
He's done pretty good. When I've taken him to a baseball game, he does a good job of, like, sitting there and taking it in. And now he knows a lot more than he did any time that I've ever taken him. So he knows more about the teams. He knows more about how it's played. We were at the park the other day with two of his other buddies, and we were, you know, trying to play and teaching them about force outs. And they're at this age right now. It's him and a couple other buddies. They're all only children. There's no siblings in any of these friendships that he's got, at least the families we were with that day. And so I feel like I had three brothers growing up, so I still do. But it's like we fought and we worked out our differences separate. He's got to get that going here. Because even I played basketball against him tonight. When we play basketball, you know, he wins and whatever. Typically what will happen is I'll let him. And he's making shots. It's not like, you know, but the rim's so low. But I was down, 39-29. And I made a shot. And I go, all right, come back, baby. It's comeback time. And he starts crying. I said, what the hell is wrong? I don't like when you cheer on yourself. What? These kids are so irrational. Yeah, that's a big problem. Even at soccer. If you, like, my wife got yelled at by one of the kids for cheering on our son because the kid was sad that he wasn't cheering for her. These kids are nuts. They need brothers.
It all starts at home.
Yeah, I know. I know. His dad's a big wuss. Kevin Harlan calling the Celtics and Knicks series on the TNT side. They'll have game 5. That may be it. We'll talk to TNT's Kevin Harlan when we come back on the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day.
And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.